Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Grab a seat. Good to see everybody. Got lots going on this morning. An announcement that's not in your bulletin. The bulletin deadline this week is Tuesday at noon. So if you have something to go in the bulletin, an announcement or a prayer request or whatever, Tuesday at noon, get those to Lorraine before Tuesday at noon. And speaking of deadlines, all of us who are writing articles for the Mayflower Notes, it's time to start writing those. They're due on the 15th to Meredith. And her email address is in there if you don't know it. So, if you have prayer requests or different things, this announcement's in here every week. I don't usually read it. But there are prayer cards in the bulletin or in the pews. You can just pull them out, drop them in the offering plate. And they'll get to me, and we'll get them to our little prayer group that prays over these things. Happy birthday to Liz and Arlene. Good to have. What? You didn't say nothing? Okay. And next week, if you're interested in the congregational heritage, Liz is going to start a class next week after church, running 3 to 4 weeks still. 3 to 4 weeks, okay, after church should be really good. If you are planning on attending, you haven't told her yet, she'd probably like to know that. Like to know somebody's actually going to show up. That would be good. And we're having a talent show fundraiser for May 1st, trying to raise a little money for camp. We have potentially a lot of kids to go to camp. Camp's very expensive, and so we're going to try to help out because some parents can't send them all. Like the one family who has 7, that would be a lot to send. So Chris Ann and Liz are putting this on. So if you have a talent, or if you would like to have a talent, see them. How's that? Does it work that way? Okay. But too little, too late. Okay. Mayflower Notes, Prudential Council next week. Everything else is in your bulletin. So I've got new stuff up on the... Oh, I'm sorry. You were supposed to be first.
I know it. Story of my life.
Okay. Go ahead.
But I'm pushy, so I can get up here and just get in whenever I need to. He's always in a hurry, and I understand that, to get through the announcements. And I'll make this quick. Okay, you former choir singers, if you've been in any choir before, you are invited to join the choir for singing an anthem on Mother's Day, May 9th. Excuse me. Warren and I are cooking up something, and we would like to have you join us. We're going to be singing With a Voice of Singing, which is a really great piece. And even if you don't know that piece, but you have sung in a choir before, what I'm saying is if you can read music, we would love to have you come and join us for a rehearsal the week before at rehearsal, whether that's a Wednesday night or Thursday night. I will let you know that for sure, for about 45 minutes. And if you don't like to drive at night, we will make sure that we give you a ride. Anyway, that's not an excuse. And then also for the rehearsal beforehand on that Sunday. So you won't need to robe or anything else. You'll just come and join us during the service for the anthem. But we've had fun in the past doing alumni choir things, and I thought it might be fun to resurrect that for one Sunday. And so you don't have to have me direct. Warren's going to do that, and I'm going to play the piano and accompany. So please consider that. It should be a lot of fun. Thank you.
So if I don't want to drive at night, somebody would drive down to your lot, pick me up?
No.
Okay, just wanted to get that clear. There's new stuff up on the missions table out in the social hall also. I was supposed to let her go first. See, then I didn't have to stall for time like this while she got back with the choir. Okay. Hopefully the rest of the service will go well. Let's enter into worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. And I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones. Please join me in the opening prayer. Dear Lord, you have taken away the sting of death through your death and resurrection. You have given us new victorious lives to live in you each day. Keep us steadfast in faith until the end, and use us to spread the good news of victory in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is Exodus 12, verses 2 to 13. This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning. I am still on island time, so you have to forgive me because we just got back from Charleston, South Carolina, and we got home about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still running on, oh, well, I don't have to go anywhere time. So please forgive me for being a little scattered or a lot scattered this morning. How is everybody? Tired. Yes, I know Dominic. Or Morgan went to Splash Mountain. Did Dominic go too? No. Oh, and did anybody else get to go somewhere special over spring break? Where'd you go, Marissa?
Boyne Mountain.
Was it fun?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you go with her? Uh-huh. Catherine, did you just get to spend some extra time with Mom now that she's home?
On spring break, I went shopping and I bought Princess and the Frog doll.
Oh, I love that. I haven't seen that movie yet. You know what? I may have to borrow you because now Maggie's too big. I can't go to see all that stuff, so maybe I'll have to borrow you.
I don't know, but I was having fun yesterday because on my mom's NES, I was playing lots and lots of Punch-Out.
All right. Well, we went to Charleston, and there's a church there that we looked around to see, you know, because we got there on Easter morning. You can't skip church on Easter. And we looked around, and there was a church about, well, just two blocks from where we were staying. But Mr. C wanted to go to the big cathedral in downtown Charleston, this enormous. I have never seen a church this big. It was absolutely enormous. Imagine that the ceiling in here goes up twice as far, and the pipes for the organs were about 20 feet tall, and there must have been 50 of them. And they had a choir in there that had over 100 people that morning, and the pastor said that the people on Easter morning, there were so many that not only did they fill all the pews in a church that was easily twice as bigger than this, they were standing all around the walls and down the steps outside trying to hear the message of the Lord. Now, Mr. C wanted to do this, and Mr. C is always on island time. And he said, we're supposed to start at 11. And I said, maybe we should be there at 10. You know, this is a historic church. It's Easter morning. It'll be fine. So we got there at 10:30, and guess what? We ended up in the cafeteria, having to have a separate mass in a room all drab and plain. And I felt kind of sad because Easter is a big thing, isn't it? You know, we have lots of noise and joyful music and everything, and here I am in a cafeteria on a folding chair on the first day of my vacation. But you know what? Jesus came anyway. It didn't matter. After church, I was able to get in and see the beautiful building, and it was 150 years old and the huge windows, and that was wonderful. But Jesus came anyway, and he rose, and I had as wonderful a service and a feeling as I did when I'm surrounded by all the people that we love, because it's here. It's not where you are. We could be in a field. We could be at Splash Mountain, although we probably wouldn't pay too much attention if we were. But Jesus comes anyway. He comes for us every year and reminds us that life starts over. And I do have good news. There is spring out there. I saw it. There were flowers and birds. You have a daffodil. It's coming. And it comes every year just as Jesus comes for us. It's just a little slow sometimes. So let's have a short prayer and we're going to head out the back and go on downstairs, okay? Lord, your coming is something that we celebrate, and it moves us throughout the year. We are so lucky that we don't have to have the trappings to make us understand the gift that you have given us, a life with promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this year we didn't have to use the overflow room. Maybe next year. Maybe next year. Giving and receiving of our gifts. If we only think of giving as Sunday morning at the offering time, oh, we're missing out on so much, so much, so much. Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. So it's not just giving a few dollars so we can pay the electric bill, so we can keep a roof over our heads, so we can do a few things that we need to do. It's giving, having a spirit of giving. Seeking first His kingdom, His righteousness. Sunday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday night, wherever we are, giving back to God a little bit that He has given to us. Our finances, which we're doing this morning, our gifts, our talents, which they did last night at the second Saturday supper, the choir, the children's, on and on and on it goes. Seeking first His kingdom, His righteousness, He'll take care of everything else if we'll just let Jesus continue to give to us and through us throughout our life. Worship God for your giving this morning.
Father, we thank You for this opportunity to give back to You a little bit of what You've given to us. You take such good care of us. We are so thankful. Things that we understand, how You bless us, and then behind the scenes You bless us all the time that we don't know about, but we're thankful for it all. And so we joyfully give unto You that You can multiply this offering to meet every need of Your people, every need of Your church, and have an abundance left over to spread Your word throughout our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh.
Amen. Think of that, one body with the Lord. We are his body. First Corinthians, start chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Thank God for the Church at Corinth. Amen. I mean, they were doing everything wrong, so Paul had to write them two letters. He actually wrote them three. We don't have the third one. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have a whole bunch of teaching on Christian behavior. Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, he starts right from chapter one and starts correcting. Let's correct this. Gets to chapter 11. Of course, he didn't write it in chapters. He's writing a letter. And says, "And by the way you guys are doing communion, the Lord's Supper," because see what they did, they reenacted the Lord's Supper every week. They got together, and so at Corinth, since they were not Jews or Gentiles at Corinth, you know, they've heard about, and so they come to the fellowship hall at church. The rich bring their fancy foods and their wine. They and the poor bring whatever they have. They're eating over here and eating over there, and some are getting drunk, and some are, you know, going hungry. See, now, good congregationalists, if they had been good congregationalists, they'd at least share. That's true. See, nobody goes away hungry unless you want to go away hungry from anything we do. That's true. Okay. And so Paul has to write them and say, "Look, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not so you'll be fat and drunk. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is this." And he starts out, one thing I love about Paul's writings is he is always very clear about his opinion, what the Lord has said, what he thinks, what is tradition. He's always very clear about that. The guy must have been a great lawyer. Very clear. And here he says, "For I received from the Lord," not my opinion, not what I think, not coming from my Jewish background to the Gentiles, "I have received from the Lord." What is important about what we call communion? The Lord's Supper. Maybe we don't do the whole Last Supper thing anymore, but kind of once a year, Monday, Thursday. But we're doing it 2,000 years later to do this in remembrance of him. And so that's what Paul's writing about. He said, when he had given thanks at the Last Supper, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you." See, everything Jesus did, including coming and taking a human body, living his life, suffered, died, everything he did in his body, he did for us. And so when we're partaking of the bread,
That's what we're remembering. We're remembering what Jesus did for us. Jesus did all of this for us. He did this not for himself at all. He did it all for us. Same thing with the drink. This is the new covenant in my blood. And so we have this picture. I love this. See, I love pictures. I like pictures. You have this picture. So you don't have to read very much when you have pictures, you know? And I really don't like reading. I don't like reading. I don't read near as well as Barb does. Barb just, you know, when we're reading the same book together, I always let her read it first. Because she's done. Yeah, she looks at it, boom, got it. Okay. Me, I have to read it and turn pages and, you know, read it. Yeah, reading's never been one of my favorite things. I read a lot, but it's never been one of my favorite things. Pictures I like, and so here we have a picture. A picture of everything that God has done toward mankind through Jesus Christ. That's what the picture is. We have a picture of every blessing, because there's no curse under the new covenant, you know. We're under the new covenant. You know, there's an old covenant and a new covenant. We're under the new covenant. Thus, we don't offer blood sacrifices. We don't do a whole bunch of stuff that was under the law. No. I mean, I grew up, some of you probably remember this, when Sunday was kind of considered the Sabbath. I grew up on more than one Sunday morning hearing how you should keep the Sabbath holy under the Lord. Remember those sermons? Well, maybe congregationalists didn't get those. I got those. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Sabbath? Sabbath is from sundown Friday night till sundown Saturday night. This is Sunday morning. We worship on the Lord's Day. We don't worship on the Sabbath. Well, you might worship on the Sabbath. You can worship every day if you want to. So there's a whole bunch of things according to the letter of the law we don't do anymore because we're under the new covenant. The new covenant fulfills the old covenant. The old covenant was between God and the Jewish nation. Yeah. If you will do this, I will bless you. If you don't do this, you will be cursed. And all we got to do is read the Old Testament to find out the curses work really well. Yeah, because Israel seldom actually served God. There's only a couple generations of Israel in their 1,000-year history that actually served God. There were certain people that served God, but only a couple times did their generation serve God. Joshua's generation served God. But there's only a couple generations. And so God come along and said, okay, now we're going to start a new covenant. The new covenant is between God the Father and God the Son, and all His seed, descendants. You can choose or not choose to be one of the seed, but you cannot break the covenant. You can opt in, you can opt out, you can't break it. The new covenant's unbreakable, and there's no curse. That's why there's no curse. Nobody can break it. No reason for a curse if you don't, because it can't be broken. So here we have a picture of everything that God has done to bless us through Christ Jesus, more than I understand, in one picture. And Paul says, we're doing this in remembrance of Him. Remembering what He did for us. So as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. It's not even final at His death. I just have a hard time. I tell you, the whole Lenten season's hard for me. Because I know you're supposed to be sad, but I can't. I know Easter Sunday's coming. You know? And I don't know if it's just because I deal with sadness all the time, that I just don't want to deal with any more sadness if I don't have to. You know, I mean, stop and think about it. Nobody comes and pays me $100 an hour to tell me how great their marriage is. Nobody. Nobody. Don't come in and say, you know, Dr. Rick, our marriage is so great. We just had to come and tell you about it. Here's a check. I'll tell you what, I will take, I do that for free. Yeah, I do that one for free. Just, good news. Yeah, this is great. You know. No, it's not usually like that in my office in Charlotte. Not usually. Never. It's never like that. And so, you know, through the whole Lenten season, and I know some people just get really, by the time you get to Good Friday, they think they're being beaten, put on the cross themselves. And that's okay for you. I just know Easter Sunday's coming. Same with communion. Not celebrating his death, although I'm very thankful for his death. I'm thankful for his sacrifice. Well, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's not the end of the story. He's coming back. And we're 2,000 years closer than Paul was when he was writing us. We're getting short. That's what we used to call it in Vietnam when I was going home. We're getting short. Yeah. We're getting out of here soon. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Hopefully after golf season. I'd like to do one more season of golf, yeah. But, you know, that's not a requirement. I'll give up golf to go to heaven. I'll tell you what. Okay. One little minor warning to the Corinthians. That pays for us too. See, anytime anything has become a tradition, we need to know why it has become a tradition. Traditions in themselves are not bad, but if we've lost the meaning of the tradition and it's just a ritual, That's all it is. But there's a meaning behind the things that we do in our traditions. And Paul's saying to them and to us, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. That's pretty serious. Judas, Pharisees. That's got my attention. What do we do? Well, so we examine ourselves. That's why Chris Ann plays music while we're passing this stuff out. Well, it's not the only reason, but chance for reflection. Examine ourselves and what? I love this verse. Let a man examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat. It doesn't say he's not supposed to eat. Examine yourself, count yourself unworthy, and don't eat. No. He says examine yourself. You see, the problem between God and mankind has been done away with. That problem is sin. Forgiveness is quick. Changing our behavior is not necessarily so quick. Victory over sin is necessarily quick. But forgiveness from God's end is quick. And so we have known sin in our life. That would be eating in an unworthy manner. God, forgive me. Whoa. Need a little help on this one. I keep asking about this every month. In our case, every month. Some do it every week. Some do it once a year. Some do it whenever. That's quick. Examine yourself and eat. He says he drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. What in the world does that mean? Well, who is the body of Christ? We are. Go ahead, be daring. It's okay. You know, no lightning bolts if you give a wrong answer. We're the body of Christ. So judging the body rightly, would that have anything to do with strife in the body of Christ? First thing that Paul dealt with in Corinthians, chapter 1, right off the bat, you people are divided and this isn't good. Yeah. But divide and conquer. So we won the Civil War. Division's not good. So having strife, unforgiveness. Yeah, I've been in churches in the past where members of the church wouldn't even talk to one another. Well, you don't have to sit on the same side of the church, but we should at least work it out where we could talk to each other in social order if we had to. You know, if we happen to be in line with them, maybe we could say, hi, how you doing? I don't really care, I'm just trying to be social. You know? I mean, say, just courteous, you know? I mean, we don't have to actually like the person, but, you know, just a little courtesy every now and then. Maybe we could work it out to that point. Judge the body rightly. See, we're all part of the body of Christ. We all have different gifts and abilities. And like our physical body, he spends most of chapter 12, which is right after this, talking about the body, and we're all different, and we all have different gifts and different abilities, and the head cannot say to the foot, you're not part of the body. Yet in the Christian world, we see that happen all the time. Well, you're not part of the body. You don't baptize right. You don't take communion right. You use grape juice instead of wine. Say, you know? You don't do this right. You're not part of the body. So much of the church world is exclusive. You know, I love the congregational idea. We have common ground in Jesus. Come on in. We'll work out all the details later. I love that. That's the way the church is supposed to be if I read my Bible correctly. Common ground in Jesus. Come on in. All the differences will work out. If we have to work them out, we don't have to work them out. Most of them we don't have to work out because most of them is just tradition. And while tradition is good, tradition is not doctrine. It's just tradition. Yeah, that's true. You could say amen or oh me. Either one was accepted. Because the purpose is not the tradition. The purpose is the relationship with God. And tradition enhances the relationship with God. It's good. But if tradition is just tradition and we do it this way and nobody knows why, then it's just tradition. So more important than, you know, we do communion the right way, more important than that is that my heart is right with God. And I'll tell you the truth, your relationship with God, I know people don't want to hear this, your relationship with God is directly reflected with your relationship with one another. You cannot love God, it says in 1 John, you cannot love God if you hate your brother. You cannot love God who you have not seen if you hate your brother who you have seen. It's directly connected. Because we think, oh, me and God have no problem. You know, that person is directly related. And that's why God says if you're at the altar offering your gift, which under the old law, there's no other way to get forgiven. You had to come and bring your gift. It had to be done just right, exactly right, in order for you to receive forgiveness. If you're offering your gift on the altar, and remember you have something against your brother, leave your gift and go be reconciled with your brother. That's how important that is. Doing the same here. Judging the body rightly. Judging the body rightly. So as far as it's up to me, I don't want any conflicts, any problems. I may disagree, but it's just disagreeing. That's all that is. Because I want my avenue between me and God clean. So I got to keep my avenue with one another clean. So then we examine ourselves, and then we eat. And that's what we're going to do now. Ushers. So whatever picture you need this morning, whatever picture, maybe you need healing, maybe you need blessing, maybe you need a job, maybe you need retirement. Oh, is that in here? Maybe you need, you know, say, maybe you need, I don't know, whatever you need this morning, here's the picture. And as we're partaking this morning, touch God. Look at the picture and touch God. If you have known sin in your life, repent. There's problems you need to take care of. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to partake, and then afterwards we're going to take care of this. Get everything back on even keel again between us and God, us and one another, so we can go forward in God as an individual, as a church, as part, a small part of the body of Christ worldwide. We can go forward for the body of Christ. Ushers? And again, this month, we will pass out both elements. Hold on to the bread, then they'll pass out the cup, and then we'll partake of both of them together. Paul wrote and said, when Jesus gave thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. We don't know all the meaning to the picture, but thank you for the picture of all the blessings that you have provided for us through Christ Jesus. We are so thankful. So forgive us. Help us to change what needs to be changed. Help us to be the people that you've created us to be. Help us to be the church you've created us to be, living in your fullness, living in your love. Bless this bread. Bless this drink, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.
Sure, good to see you all here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you. This has been good. Okay, quick joys and concerns, because communion takes a little longer than normal service. And when I'm talking, sometimes I talk more than normal. No, I haven't talked up to normal yet.
I just have one concern. My aunt had a full hysterectomy on Thursday, but she's doing good.
Okay, good. We'll be praying. We'll be praying. Joys and concerns? Joys? Concerns?
I don't have all the information, but for those of you who were at the Second Saturday Supper last night, you may have noticed Bev Miller come in alone. That's because Fred is indeed in the hospital, and from what she said, they've taken two-thirds of his bowels now. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I know that he was bloated and so forth. So he's not doing very well at all. He really needs your prayers.
Okay. We will continue to pray for him. He was out and about there for a little bit. This must be a joy. You're laughing.
Probably for some. I'll take plastic bags again.
I got a bunch of them. Okay. Needs plastic bags.
May I just remind people that the library is not a stashing place for everything. And if you find a place in the room to put it away, that'll be nice. It'll look much better in there.
Okay. They did? Cool. Very good. I know we have a good library.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There is a new movie out, started this weekend, a Christian movie called Letters to God, that is just a remarkable movie. It's down at Celebration Cinema and also up at the Easttown Center. And I know this wasn't a dry eye in the house at the end of this thing. It's an amazing letter about a kid who has cancer and how it affects everybody around him. I really recommend it.
Okay.
And we have some good news about Jackie's husband, Christopher, and he'll be home earlier than the year. He hopes to be back from Iraq May 6th. And so Jackie is just beside herself. It's been a long year for her, as it is for many service people and their families. So we just pray for his continued protection. But the good news also is that he has a new billet, which is just he's staying in the military. And as long as they could guarantee him a non-deployable billet. And so the good news is they'll be around here still. They're moving to Norfolk, Virginia when he gets back. So it's another great joy.
All right. That's where my one son is, Norfolk. Yeah. Newport News, which is that area right there. So, okay. Day trip. That's more than a day trip.
Yeah.
You will not see Kim and me for the next two Sundays.
Yay! No, I'm
yeah. I know. When was the last time that happened? I don't know. Next Sunday, we will be in Ashford, West Virginia, my mother's birthplace, a little coal mining town, visiting basically no one left in the family there other than the cemetery where my grandparents are buried, and we're going there. And we are going actually to Charleston for a handbell festival next weekend and also visiting other relatives who are living, and some of whom I have not seen in probably 45 years or so, some of my cousins. So we don't get down there a whole lot since my mother's been gone. So, yes, I am dating myself. So, and the following weekend, we are on tour with the Capital City Ringers. So we will be thinking of all of you as we're gone.
We will miss you.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, that's great. Have fun. Oh. You just know I need exercise because we were at Frankenmuth yesterday and I ate way too much. We didn't ask you. No.
I'm so sorry. I did want to share Linda Williams' joy. First of all, God has been so good to her in giving her through these 3 years of all that she's been through. She has so much peace and joy going through this. Even though she has so little strength, she can barely get dressed most days. So the doctors are trying a new adrenal medicine. So we hope that will really speed up her strength, and we continue our prayers for her. And since Coz isn't talking, I just want to ask for special prayers for Cosette, going through a really rough time still with her house situation and everything involved there. There's a lot involved there, so ask for continuing prayers for our dear friend Coz and her sister Chris, who's still waiting for the kidney, if you can believe it, all these years. So a lot of people to continue praying for, please.
Amen.
Okay. Anything else? You know, and I know some of these things are hard to relate, you know, but if you can just write them on paper, give them to us. You can at least have people praying for you. You don't have to necessarily voice anything here, because we do spread it around when prayer requests come in. David.
I won't be here next week because I will be with the youth from all over Michigan at a youth retreat. And so I'd like to ask your prayers for all of those youth. It'll be mostly the high school youth, and they will be meeting in Wayne, Michigan for a weekend Pilgrim Fellowship retreat.
Cool. I'll keep you busy next weekend. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. You are so good to us. We are so thankful. And all these prayer requests that you have met over the years and are continuing to meet, and we could have went on and on about those, and just time has limited us, but does not mean we're not thankful for them and all that you're doing. Therefore, we can joyfully lift up these other prayer requests to you and pray that you will bring about your perfect will in each and every one of those situations, that you'll protect and help and comfort and heal and do whatever is necessary to bring your will to pass in each and every one of these lives concerning these different situations. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. And thank you for taking care of us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly in our view. But in your view, it's right on time, every time. And we're so thankful for that. So we lift all these up to you. Pray your will be done. Thank you for all that you've done. Enjoy the relationship, the fellowship that we have with you through Jesus Christ And thank you for being a God who loves to hear and answer prayer, loves to be in intimate relationship with us, even teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn.